Welcome to the Don't You Worry podcast. We're your hosts, Briley and Britton Caldwell, and we're here to say don't you worry through stories, encouragement, and joy. Be sure to like and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. So sit back, relax, and enjoy today's conversation. What's up, everybody? We're back with the Don't You Worry podcast. We're your hosts, Briley and Britton. And this week, we've got Carrie Morton on the podcast. We are so excited to get to talk to you. Yes. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes, thank you for having me. Carrie Morton, and just so excited to be here. So thrilled that the girls asked me. I'm a local girl from Lenoir City, born and raised here. Actually went to school with your high school with your dad. Yes. So it's just such a treat to be here. Y'all are doing an awesome job. I'm so excited to be a part.
Thank you so much. That's so sweet. Would you like to? Okay, we're going to ask you a couple of fun intro questions to get to know you. So do you want to go ahead and ask one?
Okay, here's one that's kind of random. So if a theme song played when you walked into the room every single time, what would it be?
Oh, that's a hard question, but just because I love music and it would be hard to decide, but probably a huge front runner would be Goodness of God. Yes. Because I love all of the song, but you know, the part where it's the lyrics where it's all my life you have been faithful, all my life you have been so, so good.
Yeah.
With every breath that I'm able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I mean, yes. I just have so much to praise God for and be grateful for. So, I mean, you know, I would definitely pick that. I listened to y'all's last episode where you named so many good songs. I was singing, oh my gosh, Count On by Brandon. Was that Brandon Lake? I love that song. Also Leanna Crawford's Still Waters.
Yes, I love that album.
You know, has a scripture, Psalm 23, talking about the Lord being my shepherd. Just, oh my gosh, I could pick so many. Katie Nicole's album, God Is In The Story, and Living Proof. I mean, there are just so many things that
I know.
I would love to walk into. I would probably pick something a little more upbeat if it was like a walk up song to, you know, the plate. I think about my kids, you know, they play softball and baseball, and I'm like, what would I do as a walk up song? You know, it would definitely have to have a little more spunk. But anyway, I could go on and on with songs that I'm in love with for walking into the room too.
When we tried to plan out like what songs we wanted for those top 10 that we did in the last week, I was like, there's so many.
Oh no.
Like, I was like, really, you need to narrow me down. I was choosing too many.
I was like, my worship playlist is so long. I don't know how to pick.
I'm with you. There are a couple albums and I'm like, every single one of these I
right?
love. Like,
right.
How do I pick?
Yeah. Okay. Another one. What do you think? What's something that you love that other people really don't get?
Probably. I think first about a house chore that I actually enjoy doing, which is laundry. Surprisingly,
that's our mom too.
Our mom loves laundry.
Oh my gosh! Mom did my laundry growing up until I moved out of the house and went to college. So I started then, and it's like, oh my gosh, I love being caught up on laundry. I love all the different scents you can use, you know, for your laundry. And so many people are like, oh my gosh, you know, I cannot believe you love laundry. But I do. I mean, there are plenty of household chores that I despise, like dusting, which I just give to the kids to do. But laundry, I'm like, I'm not quite ready to teach you how to do laundry yet because I just enjoy it too much. So anyway, people don't get that for sure. And the older I get, the more interested in God's creation, specifically birds. I have this bird buddy, which is a bird feeder that has a camera.
Yeah.
And so I have like an app on my phone and I can, you know, see all the different birds that, you know, come to my feeder. And I'm fascinated.
That's cool.
With all the different birds and, you know, just... It's birds are just such a reminder of the scriptures and how, you know, God cares for them in such a way, you know, and it's just a reminder that, you know, they don't toil and spin like the word says, you know, but God, he makes sure they have their food and he makes sure they have their shelter and all those things. They're just a sweet reminder to not worry.
It is
a reminder. But anyway, that's kind of I feel like I should have gotten older before I got into the bird watching thing. But anyway, it started early.
It started early. It's fun.
So
yeah.
I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Yes. And on a little bit of a more serious note, so obviously you are such a great Christian role model. You see God's glory in everything. So when did you like actually kind of like find your relationship with God, and like what's your testimony?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I have been going to church since I was in my mother's womb. Yes. So, you know, raised in church, and I am so grateful the older I get for that, you know, that my parents took me, they led by example and just showed me the Lord even at a young age. So I trusted the Lord as a young girl, and went through kind of a period of doubting my salvation in my middle school years, and you know, just kind of came to the point where it was like, okay, do I believe this word to be true, where it says, you know, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved? I was kind of in my mind realizing, like, I do believe, God help my unbelief, because I was just struggling with, you know, do I really know the Lord? Do I not know the Lord? And I had to make a choice, you know, in my later years, like, I believe this, even if I don't, you know, feel a certain way, I am trusting you. I am taking you at your word, and you say, I'm calling on you. I'm, you know, I am surrendering to you, expressing my need for you. So I am believing that you are going to do what you say you will do and save me. So anyway, I feel like the devil used doubt for a while in my life to just kind of distract me.
Yeah.
And maybe that happens a lot to people who are raised in church. But he brought me through that. And, you know, I was realizing even then just the importance of just believing what he said.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, relatable for me. Yeah. Because I feel like, because I got saved at a pretty young age too, but then I went through this period where I was like, am I really like, do I really know Jesus? But I was like, I do. I just, it's like a doubtful thing that is just in my mind that I'm like, oh, what is this? Just because, like, I don't know, other things get into your mind and you can't like get it out. But I think
it's an easy way for Satan to kind of pull those who, We're not out drinking on the weekends. Like, maybe we're not like as drawn to, you know, that crazy lifestyle. So he's like, you know, I'm gonna make you doubt what God says, you know, just like he did in the Garden of Eden. It's like, you know, are you sure?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, that's what he said and that's what he means, you know. So
yeah.
Just believing for me, you know. But yeah, so I have been following the Lord and learning more about him for several years now.
Yeah. Yes. So we know you also have a really cool story of how God brought you through a really difficult time. So would you like to share a little bit about that? Because we want to hear about that.
Yes, absolutely. So at what I would consider to be a young age, let's see, I was 33, a few weeks shy of my 34th birthday. I was diagnosed with colon cancer. And so, as you would imagine, that was kind of a shock to all of us, because we weren't really looking for that. I mean, I'd had, you know, some symptoms that had taken me, you know, to my PCP for, you know, checkups for probably a year or so leading up to that, you know, led him to, you know, schedule me for some testing, and I actually woke up from my colonoscopy, which I was thinking through the dates. Tomorrow's will be the 19th. And that'll be 8 years since I actually had my colonoscopy, which was the screening test where I woke up to my primary care physician saying, you have cancer. So anyway, I was like, what? Of course, I was like waking up from a deep sleep. So I saw Dan crying. So I was like, this is not good. You know, it took a little while to wake up and figure it out. But anyway, so that's kind of, you know, a chapter in my life that I certainly dug deep and drew near to the Lord and just learned so much.
Mm-hmm.
during that time.
Was it like a really big shock when you figured out that you did have cancer?
So yes, it was a shock. We were all just kind of trying to process, figure out, you know, what's the next step. The team at UT Medical was wonderful. They got me in for, you know, all of the testing and actually gave me my official diagnosis late January. And in one of the scans, the CT scan, it actually showed that I had a perforation in my colon. So I actually needed surgery.
Yeah.
Right away. So I think like 2 days after we found that out, they scheduled me for surgery. And looking back, all this going and moving so fast was a blessing, because I didn't have time to really think much about it. I was like, okay, you say I need surgery, I'm gonna plan for surgery, you know. But we called our family and had a little family meeting, even like our extended family, and just told them about it. We got together with several friends from church and just friends outside of church, and we they prayed over me, with me, for me, right before I had my surgery. And again, a lot of this was very much a blur, because it was just happening one thing right after the other, which, like I say, now I'm grateful for. But I was also, you know, in addition to the shock, I was very encouraged by all the support, you know, that I had during that time. And, you know, people were just so kind and generous and helpful and thoughtful during that time. And they were just such prayer warriors for me and for my family. And I'm so incredibly grateful. So, you know, for sure shock, for sure encouragement, but also Dan and I, you know, tell people we just had this underlying peace. And as you would imagine, you know, we were getting news that we weren't expecting, and processing a lot of pretty heavy things. Mm-hmm. And this is just, I tell people, I mean, this is just evidence of the good Lord.
Mm-hmm.
We had that peace that passed all understanding, you know, because our understanding at that point was not good. It was bleak. It was, you have stage 4 colon cancer. I mean, it was in lymph nodes. It had spread to a spot on my lungs, you know. For a 30-something-year-old, that is, well, for any age.
Yeah.
You don't want to hear that you've got stage 4 any kind of cancer.
Yeah.
But God was with us, and he was covering us with the peace that only he can give, you know. And it was just kind of, you know, settling us in a very unpredictable to us time in our lives. So
what were some of like the hardest moments like within that whole journey?
Good question. So with my particular cancer and situation, I had ended up having multiple surgeries, I think 8 total over the whole course, some major surgeries and some minor surgeries. And had my treatment regimen was 12 total over 6 months. It ended up actually spreading out longer, because there were a couple of times that, you know, I had to take breaks based on just some things that were going on, or blood work not being the way it needed to be and that type of thing. But my schedule was that I treated every 2 weeks, so every other week.
Yeah.
And, you know, they wanted to go for 6 months total. Like I said, that ended up being a little bit longer. And I had ostomies that needed managing, and just a lot. But really, throughout all of the new things that I was experiencing, the Word of God was such a comfort to me.
Yeah.
You know, I tell people I held fast to that. Like I white knuckle gripped it. Like I was claiming it, proclaiming it, just believing it, even when my situation and circumstances weren't matching up with the good plans I knew he had for me. I was just like preaching to myself, like John Piper says to do, like, you got to preach to yourself. You got to preach the word to yourself.
Yeah.
And I just kept, you know, digging into the word and reminding myself of that truth. And so that was just such an anchor for me.
Yeah.
During that time, during just life.
Yeah. I was about to say, that's like through everything.
Before, during, after.
Yeah.
It is so powerful. And it is just, such an encouragement to me. It gives us so much hope. So,
because I think, like you said, you've got to kind of like preach it to yourself.
Oh, man.
Even if like, even if you're not in a deep, dark time, like you just have to preach it to yourself so that you know, the word for when you do need it or for when somebody else needs it. Or like you said, a lot of people prayed over you. So like those kind of people needed it too.
Yes. But just reminding ourselves constantly of what the truth is, you know, because our feelings, like we know, our feelings are all over the place. I mean, all over the place. So like, I think it's encouraging to me that my feelings have no bearing on the power of the word.
Yeah.
And the truth of the word.
Yes.
Right. So no matter how I feel, it doesn't change the fact that the word is true.
Yeah.
So, you know, he has plans to prosper us and plans to not harm us, even though like what we might be experiencing at any given time may not feel very prosperous. Yeah. It may not feel very good. In fact, it might feel bad. And we might feel like we're very much in a pit without much to look forward to. But even though our feelings are that way, it doesn't mean the scripture changes. The plans are still good. The plans are still prosperous, right? You know, just talking about opportunities that the Lord has given me, you know, because of this chapter in my story. Now he lets me, you know, come alongside others who have received diagnosis. And I feel like that's a ministry that he's allowing me to, you know, be a part of now. I mean, just even, you know, word of mouth, you know, somebody will holler at me and say, Carrie, you know, so-and-so just, you know, found out that they've got, you know, this type of cancer or whatever. And I think he has given me a desire to reach out because I longed so much during that stage in my life to have somebody like within 10 years of my age to kind of help me know like what's going on in colon cancer. It seems to be, you know, a cancer that that comes up later in life, although now the screening for it, I think, is a much younger age because they're seeing more of it in, like, I think, you know, 30s and 40s. But I was like, I wanted to bounce kind of what I was experiencing off of somebody and just, you know, know. But I was in the treatment room with like, with older people, you know, and that's okay. But so anyway, I have enjoyed the past few years making myself available to those who have received a diagnosis and just kind of walk alongside them as they're, you know, treating and as they're, you know, having their surgeries and recovering and, you know, meeting with their doctors and just someone who can be a listener or even just, you know, shoot them, you know, scripture text just to remind them of, you know, how the Lord's with them and and how he's carrying them. And really, I tell people who've received a diagnosis, you know, believers that I get to talk to, you know, you probably won't understand this now, but because of this, you will come to know God's faithfulness and love and goodness more because of this dark road, because of this valley. And had I not experienced it myself, you know, I'm not sure I would have believed it either. But, you know, there's so much growth that happens during the tough times.
Yeah.
Right. And I think I would just encourage others, you know, whether they're receiving a diagnosis or, I mean, just any tough time, any bad situation or hard circumstance that you did not choose, but you've found yourself right in the middle of, you know, I would encourage them to turn toward God, lean into God, not away from him, because there's just, I think of the scripture, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. And, you know, while you feel like, or while someone feels like they're in a bad spot, maybe even the worst spot.
Yeah.
He says, my power is made perfect in your weakness. So like you're actually in a good spot.
Yeah.
For his power to be displayed and for his power to be, you know, I guess, shown through you and your life. You know, I think about the scripture where I think one of the disciples is asking Jesus, like, why was this man born blind? And was it because his parents sinned or, you know, something like that? And he's like, nope, this, you know, guy was born blind so that God's power could be displayed in his life, yeah. You know, by his healing power could be displayed in his mm-hmm. life, you know, and he caused the blind man to see, you know. So, I mean, he is working for our good. Mm-hmm. Here again, like the scriptures say, you know, at all times, you know, God's working all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, we can stay encouraged with these truths along the way when it's dark.
Yeah. How did you really find like your faith in the healing process? Because obviously you said like you didn't really have anybody else to kind of bounce off of. It was just like your experience. How did you like really believe like, okay, I'm actually healing and this is going to all work out?
Yeah. Well, I think just knowing the Lord and knowing that whether he chose to heal my physical body this side of heaven mm-hmm. or if he took me to if I didn't experience physical healing on this earth, because I knew the Lord, I had the hope of living forever with him, yeah. you know, yeah. even after death. And I think, how does somebody, you know, process any difficult time,
mm-hmm.
A tough diagnosis or whatever, without knowing the Lord? Because we have such hope yeah. in him past this life,
yeah.
you know, past this life. And, you know, just being able to, I'm grateful for him, you know, restoring my health and, you know, healing my body. I mean, I'm living proof of his healing power, not just my physical body from cancer, but my soul. I mean, yeah. like, what a miracle that he saved me mm-hmm. and offers me eternal life,
yeah.
you know? And so, you know, just so grateful to him. And, you know, when you asked me if I would be interested in being on the podcast, I was actually shocked. I think that you asked me in that moment, because I was like, when you guys came over, I was like, you know, we're just making conversation. Like, they're probably here to, you know, chat with Noah or Anthony's, you know, standing around to talk to Dan or something like that. When you asked me if I'd be on it, I don't know yeah. if you remember what I said, but you remember what I said?
You were like I'll pray about
maybe.
It.
Maybe. yeah. I said maybe. And, you know, even in that moment, I was like, you know what, Carrie, what are you talking about? Maybe like,
yeah.
I don't want to ever miss an opportunity to praise the Lord and, you know, give him thanks for, you know, what he's done in my life. And really, I had to ask forgiveness for my hesitancy even in that moment, because I was like, of course I want to tell people what he's done and is doing in my life and, you know,
yeah.
how I'm just so desperate for his, you know, help and how he has been with me all along the way. I tell people, you know, he's carried me sometimes kicking yeah. and screaming.
Yeah.
He's carried me.
yeah.
But he has carried me still. I'm not saying I was never in protest of where we were going at any given time, because I certainly have been on yeah. occasion asking a lot of questions, but he carried me still and he, you know, sustained me. And, you know, I mean, I have just experienced how his word is true and reliable.
Yeah.
In so many ways. Mm-hmm. And I just want others to experience that too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And like you were saying too, with the like spiritual healing of it too, I feel like some people, if they're like, if they don't have a story like that, that's so powerful about physical healing, yeah. or if they don't have something that's like, oh, I was out doing drugs yeah. and all this stuff, and then I came to Jesus. If they don't have that kind yeah. of story and they're just like, well, yeah, I just accepted Jesus. That's still so
absolutely
powerful, mm-hmm. because then, like you said, you don't even have to fear like anything. Yes. Because even on the other side of like we were talking about last week a little bit about the fears of like people. And we thought that like one of the big fears of people, if you're like, okay, what's your biggest fear? They're like, probably dying.
Sure.
But like, it's like, we don't have to fear Jesus, that. You don't even have to fear that.
Yes. Yeah. Even in death, we don't have to fear. Yes, absolutely. I just, you know, it's just so good knowing Jesus.
It is. And,
you know, we want other people to know him too.
It just makes life it's better.
Just so, he is just so good and faithful and reliable. And so.
Yes. What do you think you would tell people our age that either do know Jesus or don't, but just like how to trust them or how you would encourage them?
Yeah. So like I was saying earlier, you know, all of us are experiencing, you know, finding ourselves maybe in spots where we don't want to be or we don't like, right? Certain things, well, a lot of things don't always go our way. And maybe, you know, anyone who's finding themselves in a hard place, I would encourage them to get in the Word. I mean, more exposure to the Word, I believe, doesn't make our problems go away. But what it does do is it just kind of makes them not as concerning. You know, when we're keeping our eyes on Jesus and looking at all of his amazing, incredible attributes, and, you know, knowing he's all powerful, he's all knowing, he is our ultimate provider, he is our healer, he is our sustainer, he's our keeper. I mean, when we can keep redirecting, you know, our eyes and our minds, and it takes effort, right? It's not something we, because of our human nature, that we're constantly, you know, in battle, you know, against. It doesn't come naturally. We wake up in the morning and are always seeing, you know, things in a positive light. You know, I mean, he tells us there's a reason why in his word he's like, think on these things, you know, because he knew we would have trouble and be tempted to like be focusing on the negative and looking at all the bad things. But I think if we let our faith be our perspective, if we let our faith in the truth of the word be our lens, you know, when we're facing difficult times and even good times, then they are, like I say, they don't go away, but they're much less of a concern. They're more minor, and we're trusting him to carry us. It's not something that you know, we have to manage on our own or we have to figure out on our own. He has gone before us, right? He's our rear guard. I mean, he's with us. So like, there's no time that he is not present to, you know, strengthen us to walk the road that he's called us to.
Yeah, yes. That brings such a peace, just knowing that.
Oh my gosh, it really does. Yes. So just, I say more exposure to the word. Like I actually got, I love scripture jewelry. I love wearing the word like on t-shirts, and like my mother-in-law got me socks that had scripture on them, and like anything people know, like if you're like wondering about a gift idea for me, you can buy anything. I'm like looking now at, I'm doing kind of a little facelift to our two bathrooms upstairs. And I'm like looking on Etsy for all of the scripture prints that I can purchase. And like, I want it up in my, it is up in my house. I want more up in my house. I want, you know, it's my excuse to shop because I'm like, I need more to wear, all those things. But I just, to me, like on my phone, on my, even on my license plate little frame, I don't know what you call it, it's not really a cover, but anyway, it's got Rejoice Always on it. And so like any way I can find to like just get me more music, Christian music, you know, I mean, all the things, I'm trying to just let that be more of what I'm seeing everywhere I turn, because you know, it just gets me focused. on the truth.
It's like burned into your brain. Yes. It's like, I remember it always now.
Yeah. The more we see it, then the more, you know, we remember it and have mm-hmm. it stored up for those times yes. that we're like, mm-hmm. wait, what is happening? You know, I mean, he's bringing that to the forefront of our minds. And we're comforted by it, right? Yeah. Because, I mean, it's our weapon. I mean, it's the sword, right? Yeah. So, like, it's our weapon. And Jesus is that example for us in, you know, when he's in the desert and the devil's coming after him. Like, he responds to him with scripture.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So, like, I want to be filled up with that word so that when the devil's coming at me, I'm like, you know what? God says this.
Yeah.
So... back off, you know, yes. like you take this up with the Lord because he's way more powerful than I am.
Yeah. That's such an encouragement, especially for everyone listening, to just fill your mind and fill your heart, fill your whole life with mm-hmm. the word everywhere you can. Yes. And this has been such an encouragement.
I know, I've loved hearing your story and everything. Yeah. I'm so encouraged now.
Yeah.
Well, good.
Thank you. Thank you so much for being on the podcast today.
Thank you for having me. I love what y'all are doing. And I'm so overwhelmed, you know, by your boldness, and just keep it up. Keep it up.
Thank you, you so know. Much.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you guys for joining us this week. We will be back next week for another episode.